If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Proverbs, the book that's often called the Book of Wisdom, Proverbs chapter 4. We saw last time a father quoting his father to his son. And he said, verse 5, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Buy truth, and don't sell it. The Proverbs say. Who can have wisdom? Who can acquire wisdom, we asked last time? Anyone who wants it. Anyone who wants it bad enough to turn from their folly, to turn to the reproof of wisdom, and to listen. And you say, well, where's wisdom found? Remember we looked at that 28th chapter of Job where the Bible asks that question. Where can you find wisdom? You won't find it in the depths of the earth, though men will search out and do anything they have to dig up the gold and the silver and the iron and the copper and everything else that's in the earth. Remember Job 28 said? Men will mine it. I remember the buzz that went through my hometown when I was just a kid when somebody thought they'd found oil on their land, you know, and the rumors that went around town and the... We wanted to drive out in the country and see where they were going to, you know, put the new Chevron headquarters. And they never found it. But people, you know, if it's valued enough, why, we'll go for it. But Job 28 works through that and says, but you won't find it there. And it's much more valuable, wisdom is, than gold or silver or oil or copper or anything else. So where will you find wisdom? And Job 28 finally answers after pointing out all where you won't find it with God himself. God is the source of wisdom, and God's Word is where you will find wisdom. He has given us the Book of Wisdom, and I'm not just speaking of Proverbs now. When I say the Book of Wisdom, I'm speaking about the whole of Scripture. Timothy, Paul said, you remember? He said, you've known from childhood the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be adequate, equipped for every good work. Today, I want to look at this question, how to acquire wisdom. We know where it is. How do we acquire it? And there's no mystery here. Turn over back to chapter 2. Of Proverbs, how to acquire wisdom. No mystery here. Diligently seek her. Look at verse 4 of chapter 2. If you seek her, and he has personified wisdom during this whole section as a woman, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you'll discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. If you seek her, then. And you know that whole chapter, all the way down at least through verse 15, is an if-then statement. If you'll seek her, you'll find her. And all these blessings of wisdom, God's wisdom, will be yours if you seek her diligently. Now, how do you seek her diligently? And I just hinted as we closed last time that if I were to reduce it down and looking at this book of wisdom, Proverbs, and looking throughout the text of all of Scripture, because wisdom is found in the Lord, how do you acquire wisdom? You ask, you abide, and you obey. Ask, abide, and obey. First of all, you ask. Look at chapter 2. My son, If you'll receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. The one who will receive, look at the first line, the one who would receive wisdom, the one who would treasure my commandments, he says, the one who makes his ear attentive, the one whose heart, see the fourth line, whose heart is inclined to wisdom, that person cries out for wisdom, asks for it. He cries out, verse 3, for discernment. And he lifts his voice for understanding. He knows God is the source of wisdom. And so he asks for wisdom. You remember James starts his book that way. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach. Do you lack wisdom today? Ask God for it. You mean just ask? Just ask. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives, he's waiting to give it, who gives to all men generously and without reproach. He's not going to say, what are you asking me for that for? He's waiting to give you wisdom. Ask. What did James go on and say in his book? You don't have because you do not ask. I'm convinced we don't ask God enough. And what we do ask for is peripheral compared to what we ought to ask for. Solomon was the one who, when God gave him a choice, remember, asked for the right thing. He didn't ask for riches and all this other stuff. So God said, I'll give you that too. But I'm so glad you asked for what you asked for, wisdom. Ask God for it. You mean just ask? I think sometimes we forget how simple the Scripture puts it. When I was in college, I don't know if the professors got together or not, or if it was just a fad, but several of them offered their classes at, your only requirement was to ask for a grade. And students said, you mean just ask? Yeah, do you want an A or a B or C? I had this one psychology professor who just said, you just ask me for what you want. And people's mouth hung out. Did he say that? I said, I knew he said that. That's why I signed up for this class. What do you think I'm in here for? But I guess he's going to do a psychological experiment and find out what people would ask for. I'll tell you one thing. I got more free time, heavier loads after that, and a higher GPA. Once I found those guys out, ask for an A and you get it. You don't have to turn any papers in. No, you just ask. A lot of people couldn't get over the shock. And so they'd ask for, I guess, I don't know, I never met any of them. But I assume some people ask for C's. I asked for an A. I couldn't believe it till I got it. And then I said, I'm going to try that again. But you know, you just ask, God says. You don't have because you don't ask. Ask for wisdom. Give me understanding. 5 times the psalmist says that in the 119th Psalm. Give me understanding. And it's interesting to just trace that through. He says, give me understanding that I might observe thy commandments and keep them. Give me understanding that I might learn thy commandments. Give me understanding that I might know thy testimonies. Give me understanding. He gets to the 144th verse. He says, give me understanding that I might live. That I might live. He is the source of life. Give me you, he's saying. Give me understanding that I might live. And then the final time he says it in the 119th Psalm, verse 169, give me understanding according to thy word. You don't merely ask, but you do ask. But you don't merely ask. Those 5 times when he cries out, give me understanding, it works its way to the finale. Give me understanding according to thy word. You ask, you abide in God's word. God is the source of wisdom. And when we ask him for wisdom, we do so with the Bible open. I oftentimes picture it to young Christians and old Christians alike. The 119th Psalm, way back at the start, he said, "Open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things from thy law." So when you ask God for guidance, don't just look to the heavens. Ask God for guidance. Not open my eyes, Lord, but open my eyes, Lord, with the book open in front of you, that I might behold wonderful things from the source of wisdom, your book, your law. God's word is the source of wisdom. You see, look back at chapter 1, verse 23. When a person turns to the Lord, verse 23, wisdom, the Lord personified, really, throughout this whole section, when you turn to him, turn to my reproof, wisdom says. When you turn to the Lord, look at what it says. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you and will make my words known to you. When you turn to the Lord answers back, I'll pour out my spirit and my words on you. And the New Testament states it more doctrinally. When you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and your whole source of wisdom for life, your whole guidance system, comes from his word. The Holy Spirit begins to teach you and guide you and direct you through his word. Turn to me, and I'll pour out my spirit on you, and I'll make my words known to you. You want real wisdom, you ask for it, and then you abide in the book of wisdom. Jesus said on this issue, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father." If he said that, if he operated that way, how much more you and I ought to? Realize that more important than even three meals a day, even one meal a day, is feeding on God's word. It is the Spirit who gives life, Jesus said in John 6:63. The flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit who gives life. And then he went on and said this, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life." That's that chapter, you remember, where he had fed 5,000 people and they were all clamoring after more meals. And he said, "Don't work for the food that perishes. Don't spend your whole life just piling up things that are going to go away. Don't make your whole focus point in life food or things like that. Rather, look, come to me and I'll give you eternal life." He said, "It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life." And you remember as he said some things, his words, some people didn't like them. They turned away and Jesus said, "Do you want to turn away?" And what did Peter say when Jesus turned to the 12? He said, "To whom we go? You have words of eternal life." Abide in God's word for wisdom. You know how the first Psalm is put at the first of the book. It's striking to me that this great 150 psalms of praise and worship start with this one. You remember, "How blessed is a man who doesn't hang out with sinners, doesn't spend all his time with the lost and with the blinded of this age and just soaking up this culture, but rather what? His delight is in the Word of God, the law of the Lord. And in his law, he catches a quick verse before he runs to work. No. In his law, he meditates. He delights in the Word of God. He cultivates a hunger for the Word of God so that he meditates day and night. You spend real time with God. You spend real time in God's Word, and you'll grow wise. There is no shortcut. I'm convinced most of us try shortcuts all the time. We live in a day that loves shortcuts. Oh, there's a quick way to do that. Watch. I'll punch it up right here. And we're constantly looking for quick ways. There's no shortcut. You spend time with God. You spend time in his word. And then I'll turn it around and say this. That is the shortcut. And nothing wrong with doing things quicker if you can. Look over at Psalm 119 again. Reread that section. Turn back to 119, verse 97. You remember the psalmist divided this into 22 paragraphs, one for every letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and turned to M, 97. And I say there's no shortcut to wisdom, and yet God's word is the shortcut. If you're into shortcuts, and I always like to find the quickest path. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than people who've been around a lot longer than me. There is a shortcut to wisdom and understanding. You can get there, young people, before your folks did, before your grandparents did, if you'll give yourself to God's word. I have more insight than all my teachers, the psalmist says. I understand more than the ages. Why? Aged, why? Because I've observed thy precepts. I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. Verse 102, thou thyself hast taught thee. You can sit right at the feet of the Lord, right at the feet of Jesus. He can teach you when you open his word. 176 verses here saying just that. There is a shortcut, so to speak. There is a quick way. And don't misunderstand me in this. He's using terms like meditate. This won't happen overnight. But you can get wisdom beyond your years when you give your time to the Lord. How much time did you spend last week in God's word? How much time did you sit at his feet, so to speak, and ask him for wisdom and then abide in his word? If you'll abide in my word, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will liberate you. If you'll abide, if you'll remain in my word. You remember what they said about the Lord? Where did this man get this wisdom, they said in Matthew 13. Where did this man get this? Isn't this the carpenter's son? And then it's interesting to me, that's Matthew 13:54. Where did this man get this wisdom? Isn't this the carpenter's son? And you read ahead into the book of Acts. And as they observed the confidence of Peter and John in Acts 4:13, and they realized they were uneducated and untrained men, they didn't get it at the university, they recognized them as having been with Jesus. Where did Jesus get his wisdom? He is wisdom personified. He is the wise one. And those who spend time with him will become wise. Abide in his word. Let the word of Christ, we saw it in Colossians, what? Richly dwell within you. And what will be the result? With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You've got to let God's word get into you. You don't just ask, you ask, but then you stay in his word. You ask with the book open. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might behold wonderful things. When you get up in the morning, ask him for insight and then open the book and open your heart to his word. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let it be your meditation day and night. Now, let me say this. Get some blocks of time. There is no substitute for a block of time with God's word. Be sure and do that. But that isn't all. Let it richly dwell within you. When you get that block of time, hide it away, treasure it in your heart. And then, I know your life is busy, mine is too. And in the busyness of life, you can draw it back in short bursts here and there. You can bring it to mind. You can unclutter your life. Turn the radio off. Turn the TV off. Turn the monitor off. You know, turn things off that are cluttering your input. And just meditate on what you looked at earlier that morning or last week or whenever you had that last block of real time. Mull it over. Meditate on it. Richly dwell. Let it richly dwell within you. God's word is the source of wisdom. Turn over to 1 Corinthians for just a minute. 1 Corinthians. Remember when we started this series on wisdom, I said there's wisdom of man and there's wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1 explains that in profound language. Well, I want to look at chapter 2 now. He's still coming at that same great truth. 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 11, and he says this, "Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" There's no such thing as mind readers. "Who among men knows the mind of the man except the man himself," he says. "Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except God himself," the Spirit of God. Now remember, God is the source of all wisdom. Where am I going to find wisdom? Not in the earth, not in the heavens. You go straight to God. Now, he's saying here, nobody knows the thoughts of a man except man himself. You can't know somebody else's thoughts. "Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God," God himself. Now, how does he impart it to us? Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." He's describing the process of revelation, the process of inscripturation. Can I say it? He's speaking as an apostle, and he says, listen, we don't have these things. God has given us his Spirit, and he has combined his mind with words, and we wrote it down for you. And he's speaking as one of us. We have this. We have it. Now, I know, verse 14, "The natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. To the lost man, this book is just another relic." What are you giving your life to it for? "The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them." I've seen good men in other fields, you know, intelligent, able, it seems, but because they've rejected God's word, they can't understand it. Notice, he cannot understand them because why? They're spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual, the saved man, verse 15, appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's available to you, Christian. Wisdom personified in Christ and wisdom written down, the mind of Christ in the book. It's given to us. Not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. The very wisdom of God, i.e., as he describes it here, verse 16, the mind of Christ. Ask God for wisdom. Abide in his word. Let it richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Ask, abide, and finally, obey. Obey. Give me understanding. What's, you know, he said it five times in the 119th Psalm. And the last time, he said, "Give me understanding according to thy word." But the very first time he says it, verse 34, "Give me understanding that I may observe it, that I may observe thy law, that I may keep it." God is not pleased to give wisdom just to be kind of scrutinized, looked over, and evaluated. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach. But let not that man ask with doubting. Let him ask in faith. Because God isn't desirous of giving his wisdom to, you remember James 1, the passage I'm working from? Double-mindedness. A lot of people say, well, God, you give me your wisdom and I'll decide whether I want to follow it or not. Huh. Tell me your will, Lord. But there's no willingness to obey his will in what has already been shown. Now, Jesus said, the wise man, you remember, is the one who hears these words of mine and does them. Does them. Obedience. So James goes on in chapter 3, 13, and says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior and deeds the gentleness of wisdom. Wisdom is always given to people to be obeyed. Obey God's word and he will give you wisdom. Let him ask in faith. And with James, faith is what? Obedience. Don't ask double-mindedness. I mean, don't come to God. You'll be like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind, this way, then that way. A lot of Christians live that way, bouncing from here to there. The church as a whole today follows this path, then that path, bounces around. Why? Well, primarily because we don't have the wisdom of God. We don't have the wisdom of God because corporately, and I'm speaking now of the body of Christ, we need to do more asking, abiding, and obeying what it says. The capstone of this is responding to God's word. Maybe I'm speaking to you because you've bought into this world's thinking. Our generation says, don't put me in the straitjacket of just rote obedience. I want to think. I want to do my own thing, in fact. I want to be me. And we have thrown off all kinds of restraints. And particularly have we thrown off this simple principle that God calls the shots. And even Christians, struggle year after year, sometimes decade after decade. Double-minded men, unstable in all their ways. Why so little wisdom? There's got to be that willingness to obey wisdom. Give me understanding that I might keep it, the psalmist said, that I might observe it. Oh, the wise man hears my words, Jesus said, and does them. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. You know, that's probably Jesus' most famous sermon. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you know what you should do, you just haven't done it. Don't come clamoring to God for wisdom. You turn to wisdom's reproof, the proverb starts. You listen, you're attentive, you incline your heart, and then you seek her diligently, and you will find her. So you ask God. You abide in his word with a willingness to obey his word. You see, Jesus summarized, I mean, what a sermon, huh? Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus gives wisdom. They were amazed. They were amazed at how he spoke with authority and clarity and saw right into the issues of life. And he summarizes it by comparing our life to building a house. Most of us live in houses, and it's an easy analogy. And we say a house is not a home. He says, listen, you build your life where you really live, your house, your home. You build how you really live, like a wise man, not like a fool. And notice he doesn't leave us guessing. It is so simple. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, literally, does them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against that house, and every life will sooner or later face real storms. If you've made it through this life, there's yet a storm waiting. You know, I mean, when the picture Jesus draws here, be prepared. And the rains and floods and wind burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock of God's word. He heard and he acted. He did them. And everyone who hears these words of mine, verse 26, and does not act upon them, he hears them maybe sermon after sermon. He hears them. And people are standing there in this category, listening to the Lord speak. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house. And though it had looked just as good as the next guy's house, it fell, and great was its fall. Oh, ask God for wisdom. Abide in his word. and obey His word. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Don't you try to erect your little structure of wisdom without the Lord. You begin there by humbling yourself before the Lord, bowing before Him and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you have a life of obedience. He gives to you His Spirit and His words. And the Spirit lives within every Christian to empower you to obey His word, to teach you from His word, to open your eyes, to open my eyes so that we can see the wonderful things in His word and we can guide our life accordingly. We can act upon it. And Jesus says, that's the pathway of wisdom. That's how to be wise.